This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, the time is now way after 4:45, so we're going to get started right now. All right, going down the roll, Ali Khan. Balik is... Batista.
Here.
Bhandari. Block.
Hello.
Bunati. Chen. Drucker.
Here.
Kadensky. Harris.
Unexcused.
Henderson.
Here.
Hittinger. Hudson.
Here.
Jimenez.
Unexcused.
Lou.
Here.
Lukasiewicz.
Here.
Lutzik.
Unexcused. Excused.
Maletti.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Stefanko.
Here.
Talbot.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Pulte.
Here.
Vasco.
Unexcused.
Warsaw.
Here.
Zal.
Here.
I'm going to give this back to you. Can you pass that down here?
Copy.
So that's coming back to you, so, by the way. All right. The next order of business is approval of the minutes. We actually don't have the minutes, so we're going to move on to open microphone. VP Lukasiewicz.
Is there anyone in the community that would like to speak before the student assembly that isn't currently on the agenda? If you guys could just state your name and your year for the record, and then go ahead.
I'm Alexa D'Ambra.
And then just go ahead and whatever you want to say.
Speak into the mic, please.
And then we have one question, Representative Bonacci.
This is for I'm just curious if you want permission to come forward and make a statement here. Just for the record, I don't remember the community here, but the person that came with regard to talking about the central European delegation, I think that was one of the directed questions.
And then Representative Drucker.
I was just wondering if the event that your board member came in on the 26th, if he's something that was resolved, or if he knows the current standing, has he included that in place?
Seeing no more questions, thank you guys for coming. Is there anyone else from the community that would like to talk? Joyce. Sure. Is there anyone else in the community? Yeah? If you could just state your name and year, and then go ahead.
Thank you. In English, I'm going to talk about the prospect of why the brand is centered before, on the basis of gathered metadata and ancient connectivity of individuals. Privacy and data security have become more relevant today. We deal with challenges in the model of education, which we all agree is vitally important to ensure our nation's future success. Many groups have come to the forum with different ideas. One of these groups, In Bloom, a nonprofit sector, tried to create a multi-state database fund, which they claim would enable educators and parents across the nation to find better methods to educate students. 9 states signed up to this mission: Massachusetts, New York, Delaware, Kentucky, North Carolina, Georgia, Louisiana, Illinois, and Colorado, and make the state large and small, red and blue. Funded and supported by CrowdCoalition, classified by many as an effective data gathering and systematic tool to assess the Common Core, and enthusiastically supported wherever it appears, In Bloom seems to be a promising opportunity for a new way to deal with the problems in American education. As of today, however, 8 of the 9 states have pulled out of the program. They cited numerous concerns that were not apparent to them when they signed up for it, such as lack of explanation to provide over 400 data points for all necessary consensus. Or why a school district hard to pay for online data portals for parents and educators, they should adopt another that is going to cost school districts between $2 and $5 per student per year, disproportionately impacting poor districts. Security guarantees were not thorough enough, state and in-room representatives were not transparent enough, privacy and information were entirely insufficient, and the speed at which this program was intended to be implemented gave many parents, educators, and lawmakers cause for concern. In-room has not given assurances that if data breaches ever did occur, they would be required to notify those whose privacy was violated, nor did they guarantee that users of in-room existence wouldn't use web traces like cookie files track or profiles to use a product that is in the search site. The one remaining state in this program is New York. The State Education Department still believes that the adoption of this program would be a New York State settlement. Commissioner John King has been pushing this forward while at the same time not answering questions or addressing concerns for both fellow policymakers in Albany and the public. Both leaders of the two standing committees for education, Assemblywoman Noah, a Democrat, and Senator Flanagan, a Republican, after holding numerous hearings on the topic, called for the advancement of the system and introduced bills to prevent student data disclosure. Recently, Governor Cuomo's Investigatory Committee also recommended that NYSE drop this program. A resolution supporting the dropping of this program from Cornell's representative student body would not only send a clear signal about how highly students and their children are supported, opposed to negligence exemplified by the present process with regard to the union, but would also make it explicit that we as students believe in standing up for our right to privacy and non-discrimination. Recognizing that New York State needs to reform its education system, students of Cornell who come from all over the country and the world would urge the state of New York to abandon the Bloom program and work more inclusively, more transparently, and more honestly for a better future for our state, not for the country.
That statement was approved by the Senate for the Democrats and Republicans, and hopefully, maybe in the future, BSA will be approved for them as well. So, the purpose of me reading that is to just answer questions.
Does anyone have any questions? Great. Thank you for coming. And just so you understand, the process for a resolution is to go through your committee first. So look into that. And if you have any questions, feel free to email Ulysses or.
What's your net ID? Yeah. Sorry. Well, I'll email you so we can walk through details of this so I can understand and actually read your resolution all the way through. Does that help?
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sorry.
Is there anyone else in the community that would like to come up for the student assembly?
No, she's the dragon.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thank you, and open mic is now closed.
Great. We are going to go down the announcement list. So, first one is the Breaking the Silence Recap Announcement, VP Batista.
keep it quick. Thank you to everyone that came out last night for Breaking the Silence, which was part of the Cornell Caring Community. We had great turnout. Over 100 people showed up in the Sports Center, as well as important members of the administration, including Sport and Murphy, and Director of Board of Trustees, Bob Harrison, as well as the compilation of faculty and administration, which was very exciting. I think the important part to remember was that we continue to move forward on structural legislation, so keep your eye out for that for the rest of the semester. Many of the speakers that we're working on, a lot of things that will be coming up this semester, so just keep your eye out for that. Thank you, everybody who showed up. It was very pivotal for the community.
Dragon Day. Dragon Day, ladies, you want to come on now? In the door. You want to come? Just come to the table. All right, so I'm going to just, because they have to go back out and sell their shirts, if you two want to go ahead, we're going to do the Dragon Day announcement, Representative Drucker and Zhao. An AAP thing, sorry.
I already
bought
them.
We
Hello, everyone. We just wanted to make an announcement that tomorrow is Dragon Day. These freshmen here have all been working very hard for many hours and doing many things on the day of Dragon. And we just want to recognize people that get there and just come by. It's a great experience. They've been working really hard.
Reponati. Good job. I'm so happy for you guys. I know that you guys worked so hard as Fraser Architects. I saw you out there the other day, or actually today, on the 10 comfortably. You guys were out there slaving away. So I look forward to seeing your dragon. It won't be as good as fall 2009. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Oh, sorry. Y'all weren't here for that. Okay, sorry. Just me. Just me. No. No, but congratulations. I can't wait to see it. I'm gonna skip out on the board meeting for a portion just so I can go see what's going on. All right. So thanks again. And if you guys want a t-shirt, drop by and see them. Are you guys still going to be standing outside?
No. Oh, free.
Oh, this sheet's bargaining on sale here. All right, well, you guys have to, Alex, work that out. All right, thank you guys for coming again. All right, next is our FARC update, Representative Henderson.
Yeah, so last Friday we worked on changing the disaster and damage policy after the fire in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. And we settled on an amount for $2,000, and a $2,000 amount in the application process, and we lose all your possessions.
Wonderful. Community Life Committee update, Representative Stefanko.
Yeah, so a lot of people weren't able to make the meetings, so we actually ended up working on onboarding training for next year, so that was
Henderson, Dari, myself, Alex, and Vasco, and Emma. Get ready for the people next year.
Okay. Next is a communications committee update. Yes, ma'am. Nope. Appropriations committee update, BC Block.
Great. So appropriations met this Monday. You'll kind of hear a lot of what we've worked on later in today's meeting. I did want to update. I know that a number of you have emailed me about the concert commission, why we haven't had any concerts, so I'll be meeting with them probably the week we get back to kind of talk about their finances, because we've had zero concerts from them this semester. So it's related to a number of issues. So just keep an eye on that. Also, I think everyone in this room knows, but my successor is going to be Spanka next year, so I'm very proud about that. And yes, it should be not a total mess up next year.
Next is a university assembly update, BP Leadership.
So at the last UA, or we had a UA meeting on Tuesday, one of the big issues was PCAT. I don't know if you guys saw the article in the Sun, but that's something to think about. They'll be voting on that at the next meeting, which will be April 8th. So if you have interest in that.
After that?
No, sorry. Okay, later in April. I don't remember the date, but I'll let you guys know before that happens. I think that was the major thing. They also will be talking about divestment at April 8th meeting, if you have any interest in that. And if you have any questions about the meeting, let me know.
Great. Okay, sure. Gina?
Forgot.
So just to add a little bit to the conversation, this will be a little bit interesting that at the UA meeting there, we're going to have Vice President for Climate Insurance, Stephanie Alcan, and AJ Edwards, who will be discussing the sort of the counterpoint to the arguments that have been made on that. So it might be an interesting opportunity to hear the other side of the arguments.
I did not know that. Good science. Thank you. Next is a Sassidi update, Representative Liu.
Hi, guys. So in Sassidi news, we have finished evaluating over half of Sassidi's biomedical organizations. And the past week included genetic evaluation, who all met with law, Cornell Mountain Matter, Cornell Bongra, Community Partnership for Organizations, Community Women's Resource Center, Cornell Volunteer Commission, and Haven. And we still have to get about 15 to evaluations, and once they come back from spring break, we will be done with the evaluation process approximately 2 weeks afterwards. So that means that we're going to tentatively finish the evaluation process by April 18th. And as always, if you have any questions or anyone involved in the evaluation, please let me know. We're ready to come back.
Fantastic. FADEC update, VB Tulpe. No update, sorry. Alright, moving on to business of the day. Resolution 67, qualifications for college-specific representatives. Sponsors. Did I skip anything? Oh, I don't look so jaded. Two minutes just to reintroduce the commission.
So, the commission is from last
time because of the charter change. This year, I'm not sure that
anyone
requires these very good changes. Great. With that, I'm going to open up the speaker. There's a call to question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to do. Oh. I believe, doesn't it say we have to do for charter change? We have to do roll call for charter change, sorry. So, whether you guys like it or not. No, we're bound to do it by charter. Charter change, so clear. Sorry. I think Gina's going to help you out with this. And let's thank Claire for stepping in today for Brian. She's usually doing the employee assembly, but so, you know, she's got to adjust. So, thank you so much, Claire.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh wait, I don't vote. Sorry.
Well, now we know your name.
Sorry. Reflex. Reflex. I make sure I had it right. 21 by a vote of 21-0-0, the motion passes. Like, I don't know what I'm saying. Good job. It's a simple thing. At this moment, good job, Jordan. Stay right there. At this moment, I'm going to step down as chair. You got the amendments via email, and that's what we're going to consider right now. Chair will be Melissa. VP Lukashevich, take it.
Crazy things.
Take over.
I
would come from Japan and make sure you don't get started.
Okay.
We get a little decorum.
All right. Let's stop the conversation. Ulysses and, you guys have 2 minutes to talk about each of the resolutions. If you'd like, go ahead and just take 4 minutes to introduce the changes and everything.
So this week, that's the problem here, and non-binding. The choice would be a little bit.
individual students to get that you can have. So yeah, the second one is there is a mission, and then our business category is a mission for the bylaws, the commission bylaws. Along with the exact same ones who I mentioned, we separated out that function to the second part, which is just the being lumped out of 1.1. Now 1.1 is the primary set, and 1.2 is the voluntary set. And if we see the SAJC also mediated to the undergraduate division of student organizations, where both parties are submitted to mediation, such mediation shall be non-binding. So completely voluntary. The decision is not final. They can give it to us somewhere else, but it's still an option for students to have it if they want. So, do you have anything to add? So, we're only considering the amendment because we're amending a motion that we've already adopted, which is just on the side of that property. So, we're good.
Okay. The first person on the speaker's list is VP Batista.
He's fucking on this stuff.
That's all we're talking about.
Okay, then you want to.
Okay. Representative that Talbot. Sorry.
I have a question. So you mentioned that the decision will not be binding. And what authority does the judicial commission have? Was that
kind of a question? No, that's the last time we talked. Or the last time we talked about that. So the thing is, the only thing that will be non-binding and voluntary are if individual students or student organizations, whatever, submit a particular entity that is not in the formal charge for the prison. When we're talking about whether that's going to move from office or if they're violating the policy of the assembly or policy, it's just a very short government document. That part is covered mandatory. That decision is part of the commission. If this is, I'm having some sort of argument with my friends or religious organizations where some of them are seeing eye to eye on some of these things, that's not necessarily what we're covered by it, but what the council does and what we agree with was that we now have a peer body that is training me, that will be training mediation from the Chinese to from the government from the day. So now that they have it, we have a resource, we just are allowing them to bring this issue forward if they want to. But in the end, that decision on that will not be final.
Okay, there's no other people on the speakers list.
Let's vote on the amendment.
Is there a second? Okay, so we're going to vote on these separately because they're technically two separate resolutions. So is that a motion for resolution 56?
No, it's the amendment, right?
Vote on the amendment. Yeah, for resolution 56.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to do this by a placard vote, so all those in favor of the amendments to Resolution 56.
Now you have to count.
How many people did it up?
Doesn't matter.
All those opposed? Abstention. Motion passes by a vote of 20-0.
Motion to vote on the one.
Yeah, 57.
Motion to vote on the amendment to Resolution 57.
Is there a second? And this will be another placard vote. All those in favor of the changes to Resolution 57, please raise your placard. Yeah. All those opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes by a vote of 20-0. Thank you. And we'll make things over.
All right, moving on to the next thing here. It is now new business. Resolution 68, Financial Aid Review Committee Membership Revisions, Representative Henderson.
How long?
3 minutes.
Yes, this is the resolution that I
being able to add more people in the spring. We have like events like Spring Love Fest where we're advertising to people and trying to get new committee members. So I really think that we've done is that we've had barriers for people to join in the spring semester, which is happening again. And so really just making sure that committees aren't unnecessarily restricted without any good justification. And so the change that we decided on in our committee on Friday was that it made sense to increase the number of undergraduates to be between 5 and 10 while still keeping the same percentage of students that have to come financial aid. And then that was pretty much a major decision. So even if there's a small number of applications, we can add 5 to all the students. We get more out of the spring budget or something. We can add more locally in the spring to get more spaces. That's everything I can see from the start.
Perfect. First one to speak is Mrs. D.P. Lukashev.
So I have two questions. The first one is, I was wondering what the conversation with the Office of Financial Aid was, because I know that the Financial Aid Review Committee has to be confidential in many of their discussions, because you are talking about individuals' circumstances and their financial situation. So I wonder what their thoughts were on the confidentiality, if that caused a problem by increasing the number, or if there's a problem increasing the numbers of the confidentiality. And then my second question is why 10? From my like recollection, I don't think that many people applied. So I'm curious as to why 10. I know you said that even if not that many apply in the first semester, maybe they could be added to the second semester, but even that information, I don't think that 10 people had applied. So I'm curious as to why 10.
Yeah, for the first part of confidentiality, I was worried that I had going into, but when I talked to people who've been in the financial aid office for a while, the way that it generally works when you approve like grants and applications for state public students, it's totally anonymous that we just get like details of this person requesting travel expenses to go home for like a relative or something. So the way that the decisions are made, they're already completely confidential, and any history of the committee of grants given out, you just know the situation you're not doing about the person and like, where the problem or where this happened to. So I think those controls already work pretty well in terms of maintaining confidentiality for a bigger group. The second question, why 10? So at first for this resolution, before I decided to be greater than 5 undergraduate students and not setting like an upper cap number. So it's partially arbitrary just between the financial aid counselors in the office and thought that maybe someday if that would be used for this committee to increase the amount of students that have that's in terms of that are not having 20 students and it's like a madhouse at that point. But it was just a decision to have some kind of cap, but without doing
anything. Next is Representative Bonatti.
So,
trying that for this committee, especially just understanding the needs of students who have to apply for a student from the student grant or other things like Cornell to Washington and other financial aid needs. Definitely, that's a big priority in terms of having a good number of people on the committee, being people with financial aid, but to really that decision to form business is just to maintain the current percentage, but again, if like a lower percentage makes sense.
We thought about the institutionalized, the institutionalized, the institutionalized, instead of institutionalized.
That's actually a good one. We didn't really talk about that in our discussion with Bart, because when I think the meaning of institutionalized, we use either national Pell Grant aid or Cornell specific aid. But I think that's a good point in terms of trying to have more opportunities for managers in the arts. I think that is
Next is VP Block.
Great. Yeah, I don't always think that expanding the size of a group, whether the assembly or committee, is always a good thing. The argument can always be made that more people, more ideas, and whatnot. But I do think for this organization, I think it'd be a smart move to expand it. I think Park's pretty small compared to most of our committees. Obviously, we can't vote on this today, so unless there are a lot of other people after me, I'm going to motion to table at the end of this. But I do think this is a smart move. That's all I got to say. So I'm going to motion to table until next week.
It's been a motion to table. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, this will come back up at our following meeting, which was not next week, but you know what I mean. Great. Thank you. Next, we are going to do Resolution 69, transitioning to an opt-out emergency mass notification system. Sponsor. Oh, Lou, Warshaw, Chen.
Thank you.
Safety is one of the biggest college concerns, and we as students should stand together and support a notification system that would benefit the students. So please, Chief Kathy Zimmer, Vice Susan Murphy, and we students believe that the health staff is going to be the way to achieve that maximum benefit. And just like a first line. So recently with the snowstorm and like all the horrible weather that we've been having, I actually wrote a question for the Pinnacle Alert system, and I didn't realize that we actually have like school closing through 9 a.m. So I actually have that to Facebook. So if we have the system, then everyone will know beforehand. Even if they didn't have a Facebook or some sort of social media to alert them, then it's possible for them.
That's it. Great. All right. So, got you too. All right. So, first one to speak of this is VT Block.
Great. And this is your business, right?
Yes.
I move to make this business of the day.
There's a motion to make it business of the day. It's been seconded. Any dissent? Nope. Business of the day.
Yeah. Outstanding. I mean, I think this is a fantastic idea. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that for those who are enrolled in the system, this is not something where we get a lot of junk about. I mean, it's really only used for the things that it needs to be used for. And truthfully, you know, God forbid we have a situation on campus where there is a school shooting, for example, or there is some other sort of incident on campus. The best thing that we can do is inform everyone through a clear, you know, line of communication. And I think that the vast majority of students would not opt out of this. And I actually think that there are probably a number of students that would, if they knew this system existed, enroll in it actively. And I think that's the biggest difference, which is that there's not really, I've never seen a real push to promote people to opt into this system. And what that means is there are many students who may think that Cornell would do something like this, as they do at other schools, but are just unaware that they're not even enrolled in it. And so I think that's a very important mechanism and a very important change to promote.
Next, VP Lukashev.
I first have a quick question. Did the IT department give you kind of like a timeline on when this would be possible?
Basically, we don't have a set time. Basically, this is just kind of acting to the possible, so you can't have to really tell how long we should talk about it in the year. But I know Roy for Ronnie and with the subscription we had said that was not really trying to push that to the if possible.
Yeah, we can do that, and we talk to Kathy, and if you notice that in the resolution that we wrote, we can actually fit it into the timeline for when the system is to actually transition to on-call, and the reason why we left a specific date out was because when Kathy talked to IRC themselves, they currently have a lot going on, and while this is a very important type of system that we're trying to push, we also know that the system is undergoing a lot of other big projects right now.
Great. I was just curious. I completely agree that this should definitely be passed. I think that it's great to have an opt-out system. I think that would really increase the safety. So I think that passing this would help push the IT to make the changes. So fully in support.
Representative Talbot. Oh, I'm sorry.
This system is more supportive of staff and more beneficial to students and to faculty. These 6 students are referred to undergraduates solely, or is it going to be undergraduate students and can have this conversation as well?
I honestly think that if anyone has a Cornell GED, so we said it's more technologically sound also because in this past semester, I think there's only been one Cornell alert, and it was today with the Clayton University Bulls from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Also,
recognize
that I have, like, with the
All right, next on the speaker, this is Rep. Polycon.
So, I think it's a good idea. A lot of other institutions have like off-site systems. I think one thing that you should consider is making this part of the onboarding process for first-year students. And first-year students, you have these steps that you have to take, including things like giving your address, what time, signing up for them, helping plan for health insurance, what you have other providers. So it's just a part of the reporting system. People who do not want to get special assistance can't opt out. So special
ideas. Yeah, sure. So that, I think that's something that we can consider as well. Although it's not specifically in the language of the resolution, but I would be reaching out to people at the OSB. If you could talk quickly in the ministry process. I mean, at that point, questions are still very excited to be coming to Cornell. If you ever come up on the checklist, signing out for a big report to have, or, the senior engine and stuff like that. So that's something we want to look into. And before I get to the song, part of our daily routine, people will know about any of those signs for a
year. Representative Drucker.
How does the CIC and the industry potentially being up to a year? I was wondering if there would be anything added that, for the meantime, the CIC
Next is Representative Thompson. It's going to call to question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to do a placard vote. All those in favor of Resolution 69, okay? Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. This is a sense of the body resolution. I do apologize. So the committee is entitled to, the community is entitled to two collective votes.
Cameron.
So all those in the community and ex officio members who are
not here.
Oh, tragic. So it's literally just Cameron. And Jordan. All those ex officio members and committee members who are in favor of Resolution 69, please raise your hands or placards now. Oh, and true, they got it too. Claire got it too. You're an undergraduate, so it works. Boom. All right, so if you're in favor of Resolution 69, please raise your hand placard. Whichever works. Shut up.
Whoa.
Good. Yep. Three.
Can we welcome our community members more nicely?
Great. Shush. We're in the middle of a vote. all those opposed. And all those who abstain. Unanimous anyway, so. But, no, not you, dear. Not you, dear. I know you're stupid, so I'm going to let it go. So by a vote of 3-0-0, 2, let the record reflect that 2 collective community votes will be allocated in favor of Resolution 69. Moving on to assembly members, all those in favor of Resolution 69, please raise your placards. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All those opposed. All those abstain. So 17-0-1 plus the 3 or plus the 2 community votes brings us to a grand total of 19-0-1. The resolution passes. Congratulations. All right, next on the agenda, Resolution 71, addressing the Student Activity Fee Endowment Fund. DP Block. Okay. Because somebody did not submit it correctly to the system because he just doesn't like the system. So he did not follow the actual, he submitted it as an attachment as opposed to in the thing. So we just printed out the attachment. Jordan, did you want to, I'm sorry, I'm with this. I think.
The general agreement to be seen government and actions for the policy will require a majority vote of that
amendment. Saw you.
Yeah, sorry. I started with one kind of gate to vote on this today. I'm going to work on this business for the day to get a little easier conversation.
All right, there's been a motion moved to business today. It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, this is business of the day for open discussion. Go for it.
So, in the last year, the student company passed a resolution that basically said that we will review this plan that is set forward, which is why the planning teacher today in front of you, including the student original sponsor team, is as written, as it was committed to pass number 13. The appropriations to be heard this plan on Monday. There was a lot of very productive conversation. And we're facing a number of large questions, which is what is the best use of this money? How can we be responsible for the money? And where does the money need to go to? And these are all hard questions. And certainly not questions that we may have a definitive answer to. Certainly, you know, in the room with the people from writing and parts of campus, they're going to be different. Conception of what, where this money is needed. The idea behind the innovation fund was to give the money back to students. So that's kind of a little bit of a background. The endowment was originally designed to provide an endowment to the FASB so that we no longer have to pay that service to every student. So I collected $5 from every student's FASB allocation and put it into account. But last year, due to the number of drawings that I wouldn't be ordering up to the endowment FASB, which was about 2140. So we didn't really think it was prudent to keep this account existing for hundreds of years until the endowment FASB. And instead, we decided to unwind that ability. So last year, we ended this first year $5 contribution and are now deciding what to do with this sum of money, which is around $900,000. The innovation fund, the idea on that was create a fund where students with ideas for projects that are broadly beneficial to everyone on campus could apply for money. And they get behind this was, you have our environmental groups, which have a lot of flexibility and a lot of access to capital. And then you have FASB groups where you can slowly increase the amount of money that you have, but it's restricted. And it does take time to increase the amount of money that you're eligible for. And so the idea behind the original idea was how can we larger sum of money that they can get through violent funding system, how can we get that money? Where can we go with the money? I think the committee considering this did have some problems with the idea behind this. Mainly in third of the campus. You know, we see a lot of students coming to me especially and asking, I need money for this project, help me. And I think that's a fair criticism of it. I think where the committee kind of went, where I think the committee probably used is something that is a mix of the innovation funds and capital CapEx expenditures. So remember, another idea behind this was to spend it all on a single CapEx put $900,000 or so into a single building or single project or something like that. But the idea came up in this discussion that perhaps the assembly could sponsor small cash projects on a yearly basis. So instead of spending the principal, we could at least spend the interest on a year. So the assembly would create an innovation committee essentially that would spend $225,000 per year on CapEx projects and structural projects to the university that the students actually wanted. So I did find this is something like if the student IOR wanted to rebuild or to renovate, excuse me, the IOR student lounge, that might not be a priority of the university, but it might be something that can get done through this fund. If you put $20,000 into it, that's something that you could make a difference on. If students wanted to greatly increase the number of water departments that have a bottle sponsor, again, something that you could easily do with $25,000-$30,000. And as far as the structure of the fund goes, the amount that if you were to spend it, you really amount. So basic cost for this would be as well as we'll take out 1.974%. It's basically the number we start to get out that will allow the growth of the amount of also maximizing the amount we can take out of per year basis. We expect that the amount that we take out of the year increases. So you may have 25,000 this year, but a few years down the road, we're looking at, assuming the average rate of growth from the endowment, we're looking at 30,000, we're looking at 35,000, we're looking at expanding resources for the endowment. And I do think that after thinking this through, this could provide a very unique opportunity and a very unique responsibility for the student government, which is that there are things on campus that we see could be repaired, could be replaced, could be renovated, but they're often not, the university is broadly focused on very expensive projects. So a $10 million renovation of student assembly is likely on a higher priority list than, a smaller renovation of, say, the IOR student life. Now, a counterpoint to this, there's something to consider, it is a student's place to be spending money on infrastructure and building things like that. I think that, that is a fair point to bring up in the discussion we should have. At the same time, this could be used for projects that students genuinely want. So if we as a student body want something on campus, this could provide a vehicle for us to purchase that, or to renovate that, or to build that. So I guess the part of format is, and then we can kind of open up for discussion. So I really, I'm really here to hear your ideas on how you think this is best to structure. We have to vote based on the resolution last year on this proposal. And I think I recommend that we just vote no on the proposal as soon as possible, only because then we're free from voting on last semester's, or excuse me, last year's law appeal. But I want the discussion to be about what we think this fund can be. So a couple of different iterations again are single cash projects, so spending $900,000 on a single item, spending on innovation funds, so broadly letting students come in and spend the funding on the beneficial program, creating some sort of yearly CapEx projects, so creating an infrastructure committee or something like that on the student fund, yearly looks at projects that would be and just a note, and I don't really talk to them about it on the Amazon, but I think if we go to the infrastructure of the yearly infrastructure project, if there's a student group that's willing to undertake that, then I think we should certainly consider that. So for example, a student group came up and said, we're going to renovate all the white stand on this. I don't think this is something where we only go to the building manager's choice for. I do think there's a way to include the student in kind of the process of this. But other than that, free to take questions, free to hear your thoughts.
Great. So we're going to open up the speaker list. First up is Representative Maletti.
Okay, so I really like this, but I have an overarching concern with this, and the concern is that there's too much assembly. There's too much absence. This is shown in the for the results, the third part, the community shall consist of 8 board members of the student assembly. I think that's quite a lot, and I think as a resolution that's gonna, as an amendment that's gonna promote entrepreneurship on campus, I really don't think we want that much in the assembly. It also says 8 of the total body members will be on HAPSCOM. And then in part 7 under permitted application, it says that any unforeseen project initiatives that align with the Violence Fund Organization's mission that cannot have been budgeted for during previous violence on the site
again, and then part A, this is part A, the A is an application that did not receive funding or fail to get reimbursement as an error on behalf of the applicant. I think that's relative. I mean, the ASCOM would obviously decide that, you know, the error is on behalf of the applicant if they don't like it.
10 seconds.
So, motion 6 cents.
You can't make that motion.
Okay. I guess this, we really want to start the initiative come to on campus, and this is a great idea, but we don't want government to get in the way.
That's time.
Can I just put a response to that?
Yeah.
So, I think that what we were talking about was innovation fund. When we say, like, I support this, like, because of the financial structure, like, can you make sure what you're actually talking about, whether it's the innovation fund for student groups, whether it's a single CapEx project, or whether it's some sort of recurring capital X or CapEx like project project? We need to do that because that makes it easier. Like, if you're talking about the innovation fund as a structure here,
the committee in particular, did you have anything to respond to that?
As far as the committee goes, you know, it's certainly something that's out there. I think that the idea behind this is first that there are a limit on the number of outcome members that there's going to be mandatory or not. And I think that we have to strike a balance between FA members and the community at large. I think that when you're speaking more of the idea towards the innovation from two speakers or two individuals, I have more of a desire to put more community members on. When you're actually doing funds individuals or groups, I think there's more of a worry than figuring out a conflict. However, I think when we're going towards more of a CapEx route, I don't think there's as much of a conflict of interest, but only because we're not just using individuals. So I think there's still a lot of time that they involved in this, and I could see going down this route being kind of a yearly CapEx project. It being a very, very important to me, that means very often kind of care where it means the point of what we all want.
But it's just
Your time has expired. Next on the speakers, this is Representative Bonatti.
Yeah, I consider you to be
is Rep Drucker.
Jeff, I love this idea, and one thing I try to do is really I love the idea of yearly CapEx ideas, and something that I try to do during the years in my college was to set up a similar system that would be a design competition that students with sorts of funding would be able to
design project, and I think every year it was going on it. When these projects have big projects that must have been in the campus. And I think that with this system, if there were to be a design competition with the committee being essay members, infrastructure committee members, and other administrators from Cornell that would be able to improve this group, I think that it can be different ideas. I think maybe students should even have an idea. Say if there were 20 projects submitted and maybe you split it down to 5 and then the students could end up voting on the final project, it would be a great idea because it's a great source of money and all the projects would have to be out.
Yeah, I mean, I briefly say, I think that the committee should have to balance the needs of those topics and the needs of the committee. And I would say, I think that this committee is a lot of things that we make as a assembly, and especially when you guys are meeting next year. I don't necessarily know how effective going out to the vote is normally, only because we oftentimes have a very limited amount of people to be in our votes. You know, so I think that's something like having a design conversation.
Next is Rep. Alucan.
So regarding the CAPEX project earlier, I think the thing about the appropriations committee is that
next is Rep. Talbot.
Wouldn't be necessarily as focused on organizations. It's more like, as kind of what we're talking about, whether we want to
have to start with a problem and then see if there's an administration saying, this problem needs to be solved by teaching the team how to get it done. I think that there are opportunities for student groups to help design this. For example, a USB could help design a new bike rack architecture that something they can do. That's a great way to involve student groups in this process of spending money. That's just something like an IR student form association might help with the IR opportunities, things like that, that I think is involved students in the process of. But I don't necessarily know that if we go to the tax department, it's for student groups that are sure that it's not for the organizations, it's still a state of mind.
Right. You have a little time left. I'm saying you have a little time left.
Okay. So the term project is obviously the most inclusive. The project being in my connection, whether it's an event or it's
$15 allocation. So if you get your $80 requirement funding at 16 we actually create this fund, what would we pull out of the principal every year that would allow us a significant amount of money to spend, but would also allow us to continue to grow that
expense?
Right.
Right.
Only way to come to our end is by being part of an endowment, not by active endowment.
Gina, I don't know if you wanted to add anything to just about the account itself, the current status. I mean, you talked to them. Good time. Good time. Okay. Next is Reverend Dari.
Yes, I just want to say that I was on the board of the Common Council. I think that this is one of the ideas that would be able to reach out to a lot of
next is our VP Tulsi.
It's just a question. So I remember I mentioned to AFSCOM, and I am in support of the idea. I mentioned to AFSCOM that, you know, as great as it is for us to like build stuff on campus, you can't just like put $20,000 down, hire a contractor, and start like hammering away on one of our buildings. Have you talked to the Cornell architect or whatever, or Cornell building, whatever it is, about the process with like the university approving the project, and we could the way that we would hire contractors? And there's a lot of like nitty gritty things that have to be discussed in this process, and what contractors group can use, and what is all the same one.
So I am spoken with the university architect because that's how it was going to be. They're more of like the architecture of the project, or call it the overall architecture. I have been with the senior administrators because I have been on the school building there. But the basic process, from my understanding and what I expect, is that it's not the job of the committee to be going out and finding the contracts. It would be the job of the committee to sit down with the building manager and say, we want this change in your building, we have this much capital, can we make this work? And then it's up to the, once we have agreed with that building manager, we transfer the funds over from our account to their account, and then they spend by the building manager. So the building manager, the facility manager, they're the experts with contracts, right? Negotiation, things like that. So it's not the manufacturing committee to do. The committee would be more about identifying the problems.
Right, I understand that. I just wanted to make sure that answers my question.
Okay, thank you. And sorry, just to clarify, once I got the administration, it's the change that I'm hearing different requests may also be figured out the examples, but hopefully we can then believe we get that from
I can also provide you with contact. You might actually want to contact university architect. You weren't there. So I always think you're in all the committee meetings I'm in. The campus planning committee actually met, and Gilbert Delgado, who's the university architect, went through the capital project process just for everybody. There are actually three separate committees. One, the president has oversight. It's a small, it's like projects that are like up to what, like $500,000 or something like that, and it's. There are like three different ones. So the highest level is $10 million. Once you hit $10 million, that goes to the board. So it's a process, and you might actually want to connect on that if we're considering infrastructure stuff. So I can send that chart around that he provided. It was actually very helpful. Next is Representative or BP Lucas-Shevin. Sorry, I keep demoting you all.
I am in favor of this innovation CapEx type of idea. One thing I would like to see, though, is the ability to use that $30,000 that comes out every year towards the CapEx project. And then if that CapEx project is, say, $37,000, to allow the room for the committee to find a way to fundraise for that other $7,000, or however much over the amount it is, I'd like to see that the structure of this committee allows for them to either work with Alumni Affairs to fundraise through that resource, or maybe find grant funding, depending upon the type of project it is. But I'd like to see that there is that room to put this money toward a project that actually costs more than what we have.
And I certainly don't agree with the language of the resolution that I've had already would prohibit that in any way. I mean, we don't need to throw money being spent, but we spend it in conjunction with someone else's money. That's not a big deal. I think that we are going to have a little bit of a discussion about can we take out more than the 1.5% or if we decide that another number is. Because that number is not inspection of the fund should go to more than 1.9% of the approval. The reason why that was is to conserve as an MSCP the size of the fund at a reasonable level for credits. But I do think that we should have this. We're going to have to talk more about the past on next week, but about what happens if we have a project that we can't get fundraising for, we need an additional $2,000. Not a big difference in terms of the principal of the fund which we have. So I think that what we'll probably be proposing is something like 1.974% guaranteed spending with a certain growth of the assembly or something like that, maybe a greater percentage, maybe another percent or something from that fund. They can tap it to get a little bit of a wiggle there. The only problem that we don't want, and we don't expect that they can go into that amount all the time, is that it's really for rare occasions, but we can be tapping even more than the amount that's pulled out of this right here.
Great. I completely agree with the fact that there should be a lot of flexibility with this.
Moving on, in the last 10 minutes, we're just gonna go right through the second speaker's list to make it easier, because I think that's gonna take up all the time anyway. First up is Representative Milletti. Next is Representative Hudson, who's not in the room. Next is Representative Drucker.
To your comment about staying out with the funding manager and having that. I think that you guys did that, because I think if we have the funding arrow, I think that it should be the one who controls the design. I think that it's very useful to have a student kind of project and have a student out of their student have to know how much the project costs based on the research they need and the service they would need. I think that these projects should be designed by students and they should change and they should be projects that affect the campus and the long lasting. Next is Rep. Ali Khan.
So I would like to first speak to the comment that Henderson made. I think it's not well-being when, representatives from different colleges try to for funds and whatnot, they're affected by those set of members of that college and they understand what the members of their college want to the area or whatnot. And secondly, I think that, as Jeff said, if you have to, hold on to this thing first before anything goes through the other project, that I think most of us are agreeing on, which is the combination between a capital expenditure and the innovation fund. So I would like to motion to vote on this resolution.
You cannot actually vote on this. Is this not a bylaw change? Did I make it that wrong?
That is fair. It is technically a charter change. It's changing.
Right. Internal policy, but it's chartered, so we can't. Yeah, so sorry about that. But yeah, so that extinguishes all the speakers on the list. I think this will go ahead.
So
6:30. I am motioning to adjourn the meeting right now. For the seconded, enjoy your spring break. Meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.